You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Scoop. Sam Claiborne.
Let's do this.
And Marty Sliva.
Hello.
We've got a great show for you this week because we've got a great show for you coming up this weekend and next week. It's called the Electronics Entertainment Expo.
The show will go on.
Stoked. And it is all going down next week in LA, and we're very excited. We have so much to stream for you next week. So this show is going to be your big E3 preview. We're going to lay out everything that we're going to be bringing to you in your home, in the comfort of your own home next week, so you don't have to go to LA and E3 just like we do. Let's kick things off. Everything's going to kick off this Saturday, June 10th at 11:30 a.m. Actually, I think it might be 11 o'clock p.m. with a sort of a... get excited for E3.
Hype half hour.
This is the first E3 that starts on Saturday.
Yes.
They're getting, by next year, E3 will be starting in March.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It used to be in May.
Yeah, the
show is just happens later in the year than it used to also.
Yeah, for sure.
The first press conference this year is EA's. Mm-hmm. That's Electronic Arts, because they are having their own event adjacent to E3 this year called EA Play, mm-hmm. they call it. But they are still having a press conference, so they're moving back from Monday to Saturday. And our pre-show for the EA conference will kick off Saturday, June 10th at 11:30 a.m.
Yep.
So tune in for that. Mm-hmm. EA's big thing this year is going to be Battlefront 2.
Yeah, yes. Sports and Star Wars.
Yes.
What's worse?
It's interesting.
I think 2 years ago it was the same.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Sports and Star Wars and Mirror's Edge that year.
Yeah. For, the Mirror's Edge tier game this year will be Need for Speed Payback.
Yep.
For EA being the second largest publisher in terms of revenue, I believe, they really don't have a lot of games.
Pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're going to announce games.
I was going to
say. I mean, maybe. But the games that we know of that they've got coming up are Battlefront 2, Need for Speed, and sports games.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We also, I mean, Battlefront was so ludicrously successful for them.
Yeah.
And the sequel, you know, has, I mean, we'll see. But it's got a campaign. You know, it's got a lot of the other stuff that people didn't like about the original. So, I mean, maybe it's smart for them to just lean really hard into that.
Yeah. Yep. Everything at Celebration looked really cool. And they've already said that they're going to sort of double down on multiplayer and showing off a full match on Theed, which was the episode 1 planet. Or city on Naboo.
Theed.
Yeah. It's the main city in Naboo.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's where Augie's great municipal band played during the conclusion of the Phantom Menace.
Tell me more.
No, that's about it. Gungans live there.
What are the
Queen Amidala rules over it? There's absolutely.
I thought the Gungans lived underwater.
Naboo?
Yep. Kamina.
What's that's the one with the aliens in the ocean?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway.
That's almost
anyways. Yeah, Battlefront 2 will be EA's big push this year. And then this new Need for Speed, I don't know. We'll see what that's supposed to be.
Yeah, it seems heisty.
The Fast and Furiousification.
Yes,
of Need for Speed.
And hopefully some new EA originals. Like, we saw that game Fee last year. We had Unraveled 2 years ago.
Yeah, there'll be something like that, a little smaller offering.
I do actually, I think Need for Speed, you know, I don't know, we'll see if it's any good or not, but I hope people don't sleep on it. Like, the one that came out 2 years ago, the, like, racing mechanics in it were so solid and great. Like, it was fantastic, but the game, it just felt, the package was a little bland.
Also an online requirement. You had to be online to play the game.
Which they've said.
They've said they're ditching that this time.
Yeah. So I think the new one being a little bit more personality filled, like, I don't think the racing chops of that franchise have ever been in question. So I feel like that's a smart direction for that franchise.
Also, this fall has a lot of semi racing games with presumably GT Sport, and if Forza 7 gets announced.
I mean, I can totally get behind. You know, Forza seems to alternate between the slightly sillier Horizon and the more semi just mainline franchise. So if Need for Speed alternates with that, that seems smart.
Yeah. I think racing and sports are not why I watch E3. And I don't know who does. Like, I think they're big. I mean, Star Wars is going to be awesome.
Our numbers for PES and FIFA demos are huge.
Soccer's so different because it's worldwide.
Well, it's on
US
YouTube.
Audiences.
It's like, which is a broader audience, right? The people coming to IGN.com aren't really looking for PES and FIFA, but people on YouTube are looking for that stuff, and they find it.
And, like, they're annualized, right? So maybe their sports series will be cool and different this year. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
FIFA, but, like, man, like, I feel like that's the quiet. That's the when everybody in the war room, like, takes a break. You know, some people write news, but we're not all locked to the screen at that point.
Well, EA is also traditionally, their sports demos are just odd sometimes. So, I don't know.
Maybe we're not the target demographic.
But they trot out, you know, weird celebrities that kind of don't, they seem a little lost sometimes.
What I'm saying is watch for Star Wars.
Yeah, and maybe teasers of Amy Hennig's game or what Respawn Star Wars
other
game
Star
is
Wars
or a different Star Wars game.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And I know, so Mass Effect is sort of on the shelf now.
Maybe they'll fix it.
Andromeda. But there's also another thing that we know BioWare has been working on for a long time. That's supposed to be a big new thing. So maybe those.
That would be amazing.
Maybe they'll do one of those, like, behind the scenes. Like, we're working on
something. You see some footage
really
on someone's computer.
Yeah.
It's their, what, Project Dylan. Yeah. But I've always called it Project Dylon.
Dylon? Have you always called Bob Dylon? all right, well, that's pretty much wraps up Saturday. If you happen to be in LA, we are having a big fan event Saturday
evening.
Yeah,
come hang out with us.
6 to 10 at the Belasco Ballroom.
The Belasco.
Yeah.
It's open to the public?
BJ Belasco.
BJ Belasco.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll, you know, sell out or whatever, but it's definitely open to the public.
I don't think there's a sell.
It might free out because it's free.
You can wander in off the street.
I mean, capacity-wise, but it is free.
Which brings us to Sunday, to the Microsoft conference, which is probably the most important conference this year in terms of what is riding on it.
Yeah, honestly.
Oh, my goodness,
This kicks off Sunday, June 11th. Our pre-show will kick off at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, and you're going to want to tune in because Microsoft is going to fully reveal Project Scorpio, Xbox Scorpio. Mm-hmm. But
what do we expect it to be called?
Well, I can't even.
I have two predictions. Xbox One Elite. Or legitimately just Xbox One Scorpio, because that name has been used so much in the last year, and that name has a fan base following it. That name has been used by Microsoft a bunch. They just trademarked this S symbol. Legitimately, like, unlike Durango or Natal or Morpheus, like, has been so forward-facing that I could totally see
that. That's exactly right. Like, there is a difference between this code name and some other code names that have used in the past. Like, if you go to, like, Amazon.com, they have a Project Scorpio page that has, you know, just all the sort of glossy, Xbox Scorpio info. And, like, that's pretty uncommon for, like, something that public-facing. I would have guessed Xbox One S, but...
Already there.
Yeah, already
is there a precedent for a code name being the final name?
Yeah,
well, Nintendo 64 was the Ultra 64, but that's pretty close. Yeah. You would think they would have changed.
I think the 3DS or the DS was Nitro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, obviously.
So no, there's
GameCube
not
was Dolphin.
Yeah.
Dreamcast was the Katana.
I think it's going to be Xbox 2, but it's going to be pronounced Two.
Two.
What about Xbox 1-2?
1-2.
So they're going to reveal the Xbox Scorpio, which they've promised is the most powerful console of all time. But that doesn't solve for the lack of, or at least the perception of the lack of games on Microsoft's part, right? It doesn't have a Horizon or a Breath of the Wild or a Nier or a Neo or an Uncharted or a Last of Us or, you know, any of these games. So unless they're going to be announcing a huge lineup of exclusive games, they're going to have to rely on the fact that Xbox Scorpio is supposed to be the best place to play all your third-party games, and I wonder if that would be enough.
And Crackdown.
And Crackdown.
Yeah, sure. It's going to be tough, too, especially since we know so many big third-party games this fall and in the spring have marketing deals with Sony. So yeah.
What does that mean? Because I don't think the audience
I think that means that in some cases, like Destiny, I think DLC is going to come to PS4 first. And then in other cases, it's just sort of a... Every time you see a trailer for a thing like Far Cry 5, at the end of it, it's going to have a PlayStation splash screen.
Which I think Sony throws them some money for that.
Yeah, totally throws them money. So Far Cry, Battlefront, Call of Duty, Destiny, and Red Dead are the games we know have some sort of Sony marketing deals. So I would not hold my breath to see those games in any capacity.
And sometimes press actually only sees the PS4 version of those games.
And so, you know, a lot of that is just, it's marketing, as you said. Like, you know, these games are coming to Xbox, sure. And they'll probably look, you know, as good or probably even better on Scorpio than they do on PS4, PS4 Pro. But in the mind of the consumer, they start to associate that game. You know, every time you see that television commercial, at the end of the commercial, you know, the PS4 splash comes up.
I think Resident Evil 7 Sony did a really good job of that with Resident Evil 7.
That was a little bit different because of VR.
Yeah.
But
it's been a new level of console warfare for the past couple of years that's happened.
Mm-hmm. It used to be just exclusives, right?
Yeah.
Like you would just lock down this game is only on that console, but now it's so hard for a third party to make money that way that they sort of slice up the DLC and some of the marketing instead of the actual game itself.
Yeah. But we will get the name, we'll get a look at the final console, we'll get a release date. And
what price?
Oh, and the price too,
which is huge.
Yeah.
And the price. And a sequel to Conker's Bad for a Day.
And then you guys see these? There's apparently some teases in some imagery that could hint at the release date. And they've been putting out some short little videos, and one of them has a string of letters and numbers that reads out to 10, 13, 17, October 13th, 2017, which is a Friday, which is when a good day for consoles to come out. Yeah. So.
I can see that.
Maybe,
that being said, the horoscope sign Scorpio starts on October 23rd and goes to November 21st.
Ooh.
I looked that up. I don't think that has to do anything with anything, but fun fact.
And Scorpio is short for scorpion.
Yeah.
Which a desert dwelling, stinging arthropod.
Yeah.
I don't know. October 13th, that Friday is a Friday the 13th. I don't know if they'd want to avoid that. I don't know. Anyway, in terms of games, first-party games, like you mentioned, Crackdown 3, it's actually been dormant for a long time. It's time to bring that back. When they first announced it, they touted how it's going to be using the power of the cloud to bring us unprecedented destruction. Well, they've got this powerful new console, so I think maybe they'd want to align those.
Think of the draw distance for those orbs.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, man.
600 orbs.
So far away.
You just look out at the city, you can see them all.
Oh.
Also, racing games are great for showing off visuals on new consoles. So like you're saying, Forza Motorsport 7.
Not the racing part, though. Just the part where they pan over the car.
The photo mode.
Yeah. Sea of Thieves, I think we'll get a release date for that.
Yeah, I think a lot of these games
need to be done. Was that 2 years ago that we first saw that? Or was it
yep,
just last
2 years ago, and then last year was the official sort of gameplay reveal.
Hype levels, just based off IGN traffic, and other stats, Sea of Thieves is one of people's most anticipated games.
It was one of my favorite demos of last year that I took. It was super fun. Granted, I was playing with friends, but I'm really intrigued to see what the meat and potatoes of that game actually is.
People really want Rare to be great again, I think. People have a lot of fondness for that developer.
Well, I think there's a generational gap there. We talk about sort of the new core of gaming. They didn't grow up with
it's been GoldenEye so long
and Banjo.
Now.
Yeah, if you grew up with like Grab by the Ghoulies and Cameo and stuff, it's
Xbox Avatars.
Yeah,
Perfect Dark Zero.
Connectimals. I think we'll get a release date for State of Decay 2. Actually, we haven't even really gotten a full reveal of that game yet.
Yeah, we've seen some like concept art and stuff in a short teaser. So
the first game was a big hit for Microsoft. People love zombies. I wouldn't be surprised if, it was actually, Undead Labs made that
was
game.
Was there a teaser last year for it?
Yes.
There's a teaser, yeah.
Was that where they're just driving? In, like,
yeah, it was a super short, post-apocalyptic thing, then it said State of Decay.
But Undead Labs was a pretty small team that made that first game, so I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft would want to put some money behind that and really blow up the sequel.
Yeah.
Try to make it a big deal.
I think it's like I liked State of Decay, but it seemed odd to see it ushered into this like upper echelon that the original game kind of wasn't in. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess good for them. You know, they made a big surprise hit, and so make a bigger, badder sequel.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, Marty, you were talking about how so many third parties are locked up with Sony for marketing deals. Third party games that we could see at Microsoft's press conference include Middle Earth Shadow of War.
Yes.
Because
I think we'll definitely see it there.
They came out and announced as the first game for Project Scorpio, the first game that said
they want to show that one off as a graphical powerhouse for Scorpio.
Yeah, and we know that got pushed 2 months to October 10th, I believe. Which
well, what do you know?
On the 13th. Yeah.
The plot thickens.
I think it's becoming my number one game for this fall.
You're a big Lord of the Rings
fan. Shadow of War.
Yeah.
I like the first one a lot.
I like Lord of the Rings a lot, for sure.
And then we're still waiting on the reveal of the next Assassin's Creed. We've already gotten the reveal for Far Cry 5, which is aligned with Sony. So maybe Ubisoft would want to throw Microsoft a bone and let them have
Ubisoft's usually Assassin's been Creed. Smart Assassin's with that. Of with big fall games that they'll split them in half. And well, I mean, Far Cry's next year, but they'll give one to Sony, one to Microsoft just to get eyes on them everywhere.
We reported Scoop on a leaky pyramid today.
Yeah.
There was an image that was
one of the pyramids is leaking.
Oh no! Yeah. I think Target like put like pre-order slips out. I'm like, just reveal the game. Stop it! There was like a shirt at GameStop. Some kid took a picture of like, here's the hero.
That game doesn't even like officially exist yet, and GameStop is selling a shirt with the hero on it.
Yeah,
it is great.
Video games.
All right, so that's the Microsoft conference. Later on Sunday, later on Sunday evening, actually going kind of late,
Super late.
Bethesda conference this year.
Oh, it's going to kill us.
That
party on Saturday night? Come on. Why they got to do this to us?
This is the life.
What a rough life.
Yeah. This is our life. Our pre-show for the Bethesda conference kicks off at 8:30 p.m. Pacific on Sunday, June 11th. This year for Bethesda, we're expecting Wolfenstein, the next Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
And Evil Within 2?
Well, it's like those are both in the like unconfirmed but seeming more and more.
Yeah, Wolfenstein was teased last year, like literally during the conference. Like they were just Wolfenstein codename New Colossus. Yep. And then there was an Evil Within 2 or Psycho Break 2 job listing a couple months ago. So,
Yeah.
Do you think Wolfenstein will still be that like really cool story driven shooter? That
I think so. Before? Yeah. I thought they'll double
that. They could go bigger, I mean, with the Colossus theme.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they don't. I hope they keep it to like a really awesome, tight. Crazy cinematic single player campaign.
Yeah, I think that's what people liked about.
Yeah. Kind of, there's enough multiplayer.
No nonsense, just fun.
Yeah, kind of like a throwback to the 90s, action. Like Doom.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I think they'll also they've announced Fallout 4 VR quite a long time ago now.
Yeah,
probably time to bring that out. And actually, that could Fallout 4 in VR could be a big hit for the VR platform.
I think some. I think Jared played it last year at the Bethesda conference. And so, yeah, that and Doom VR I could see being.
Yeah. It was Vince that played them, but yeah.
Doom is really fast. At least Fallout 4, you can like play at your own pace and take your time. But man, Doom would probably make me throw up in VR. Quake Champions was revealed last year, and that's been in a beta, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, I played it at PAX. Yeah, I know. In some form.
Some guys in the office have played it, so they'll probably have that. Well, Dishonored came out last November, so it might be time. I think there's already been one expansion release, some DLC content, so they might want to, might be time to revisit that.
And the Dishonored 1 DLC was super good.
So. Yeah, yeah, that's actually true.
Do you think Skyrim Switch could be there?
That's what I wanted to bring up.
That's a good question.
Maybe the better question is Skyrim actually coming to Switch?
Like, is it?
Yeah, I know there's some
skepticism. It's crazy to me that it's not out. Like, why isn't that game out?
Like, I think it's because it's going to be like a cool special version of it that might be taking some.
It's already such an old game. Like, you know.
I think they're in a tight spot where they released their HD edition, which we all presume is not the Switch edition. So I think they're kind of trying to they're trying to figure out how to message it. Like, hey, this new shiny better version of Skyrim. Don't pay any attention to that. You're going to get this kind of older version of Skyrim.
I just think a lot of third parties are like, yeah, we're making games for the Switch, like cautiously waiting to see how it did. And it sold great. People love it. The attach rate's really high. And now I think a lot of third parties are like, oh, okay, Switch games.
Yeah, but that console was announced with Skyrim.
Like, it wasn't announced with Skyrim.
Yeah,
it was in the reveal.
That footage.
Yeah.
But it was just like the basketball game, but the game's never been confirmed. Skyrim Switch hasn't been confirmed, and NBA 2K hasn't been confirmed.
I mean, they have been now.
In January, Todd Howard was in their video saying, hey, we're making Skyrim for Switch.
Oh,
for
did
Switch.
He?
Switch.
Switch.
Swoop.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's it. That's the extent of it.
I mean, I kind of, like, you know, like everybody else, the Switch came out. I love it, and I kind of forgot about Skyrim. And then earlier this week, you know, I'm starting to do my E3 prep, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't come out. Like, the game's 5 years old. Like, why didn't it launch with Skyrim? It's odd.
I think it's, I just said it, but I think it's because they want to augment it in some cool Switch way.
Maybe right.
And I hope that's climbing.
Ooh.
You got to add the climbing.
You know, but you can't climb it. You just have to ride a horse.
Yeah.
Those horses can climb anything.
I mean, you're right. Like, that's a very good, as far as predictions go, they're doing some kind of trickery or new content in the game. I really don't think so. Well, I agree, but it's a good theory.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that'd be awesome. Like, that'd be great.
I mean,
it'd be worth the wait.
If you just see how well Zelda did as, like, this big open world experience on Switch, like, Skyrim's a great match. They're hitting the nail.
It's exactly Skyrim, but there's one new quest.
Yeah.
You have to find it. We're not going to tell you where it is.
People would flip for that. And remember, Skyrim, it's 5 years old, but it's still like one of the most popular games anywhere. It's still played all the time. It's top of the Steam charts.
If we put up like a top 10 Skyrim something on IGN now, it would click very well.
It needs a better last word than something.
Well, we'll work figure that out. We'll figure that part out later.
They're probably adding Korok seeds to.
Somebody, I think it was Andrew, came around today and was like showing me that Grand Theft Auto single player content DLC was like
announced.
Oh, yeah, and now it's been
3.5 years ago.
Yeah. 3.5 years, not a peep.
There was
coming in 2014.
There was a statement in December 2013 that said we're going to have more on the adventures of Michael and Trevor and Franklin early 2014.
Weird. So even though we're all excited about like Red Dead, and I know it's not going to be probably at E3 because of the delay and stuff like that, like could GTA DLC appear at a conference still?
I will eat this microphone. I know. If there's ever a single player GTA 5 DLC.
It's weird
GTA
though.
GTA Online makes so much money.
Yeah, online is still very popular.
Do single player.
But single player is still so popular too,
Justin,
including cheats.
Do you think there's any way, if you're allowed to prepare it,
yeah.
Is there any way for Marty to ingest that microphone and survive?
Sure.
Realistically.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Will it blend?
If you like melted it down, you could like drink it. You'd be ingesting all the metal and the
wires. I think there's a good chance. I think I could do it, but I think I'd die.
Does it have
to? No, that's not what I
you would have to powder it and then eat it over a period of decades.
That's what I was going to say. Does it have to be in one sitting?
Yeah. No, he didn't say I would eat it in one sitting.
So I would have to like pass a little bit out and then get more metal into my bloodstream and pass it out.
Exactly.
It would probably significantly shorten your life.
We'll blend it all up, and then you put one teaspoon in your eggs every morning. It's fine.
Or not every morning.
You have eggs every morning? Anyway.
Yeah,
one more thing.
Rockstar, I hope you're listening. Now's your chance to change your plans and get this man to eat something dangerous that'll hurt him.
One more thing for Bethesda. Have you guys heard there's these rumors? They're just rumors, but have you heard these rumors about this new big RPG, sci-fi RPG, possibly called Starfield?
Mm-hmm. You made up these rumors?
No.
Tell me your rumors.
But maybe someone on the internet made them up. Yeah. Someone claiming to have insider information to Bethesda is claiming that Bethesda has another big AAA RPG series, sci-fi, with a sci-fi setting called Starfield.
Yeah, I've heard the same rumors that Bethesda Softworks, who develop, on and off Fallout and Elder Scrolls, that they're going to have a third pillar, and that's going to be the next game, and that's going to be hard sci-fi.
It probably wouldn't show at this E3. Maybe.
I mean,
because Fallout was like, here it is, it's out in 3 months.
Yeah.
You know?
So Bethesda is a gigantic company, although not really. You know, they're not like Ubisoft big in terms of headcount. But
which one is it?
But they don't have. They're a big company, but they don't have. You know, they have a set number of teams. They only have a couple of teams. So that's what the gears in my head start turning.
Opened a really big Canadian studio. Mm. We don't know what they're working on, but they said a AAA freemium game.
So is that
BioWare is in Canada?
Undone.
So, and they make a game that sounds a lot like Starfield called Mass Effect.
So
maybe this is a Canadian Starfield. Space game.
So wait, Marty, is that what you think? The new studio that hasn't released a game could presumably, they're working on something.
Yeah.
We also know they're working on the next Elder Scrolls.
But that's not that team.
I'm just saying, so they've got Wolfenstein and Evil Within 2.
Well, but Wolfenstein's Tango.
Right.
No, Wolfenstein's the Polish dev.
That's what I mean. You can line up. And again, Wolfenstein is still a rumor. Like, we know with the highest degree of certainty, that team is working on something. They teased Wolfenstein, so it's probably Wolfenstein. But, Evil Within 2.
Is Tango that's being done in Japan, if it's real.
And, Wolfenstein. So it's like you can line up Bethesda's games with the specific studios, and that's where I was trying to figure out where something new would fit in.
Mm. How many people would it take to add climbing to Skyrim?
No one's adding climbing to it.
I'm
making a second microphone-eating pet.
Can you go for the stand?
I think what's going to turn Sam into a PC gamer is you're going to get every game on PC and then just download a climbing mod.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be great.
Even completely breaks the game. At climbing to Prey, it doesn't matter.
Work well in Prey.
It's got the goo gun. It would kind of work.
It'd be cool. Climb around the outside of the station. Yeah. So just in a loop.
That takes us through Sunday. Next up is Ubisoft on Monday, June 12th. Our pre-show kicks off at 12:30 p.m. Pacific. Ubisoft, we already know that they've got Far Cry 5. We know that they're going to have the next Assassin's Creed, even though it hasn't been unveiled yet. We know they're going to have South Park. We know they're going to have The Crew 2. Mm-hmm. They've been upfront about all this. What we don't know yet is that they've said they're going to have a new IP. And there's also these rumors and leaks about this Mario and Rabbids RPG.
For sure.
I wonder if those are two separate things or if that is the new IP. Mm. Does that count as the new IP?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I mean, that's, again, like, Ubisoft is such a leaky ship that that has all but they've shown pictures. Or people have photographed Amiibo of these and all these.
Speaking of leaky ships, are we finally going to see that pirate game?
Yarg?
You think that's the new IP?
I don't know.
Or is it the space game that was teased in Watch Dogs 2 when you break into...
Yeah, there's that,
you break into, yeah. Or are we going to see Beyond Good and Evil is still in development?
That wouldn't be a new IP, but yeah.
No. Yeah, I don't know. And Ubisoft has they've always, the last couple of years, have closed the show with the new IP reveal. Last year was Steep. The year before was The Division.
No, that was
the year before was Rainbow Six. The year before that was Watch Dogs.
Not a new IP. And, I'm just saying.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to wait and see. Like, Ubisoft, I think, is one of the most exciting developers out there. It doesn't always, like, you know, Division was kind of so-so for me, but they're risk-taking in a way. That, like,
last year they did a bunch of VR stuff. They had Star Trek VR and then the Eagle Flight. That's one thing that's missing from the list we currently have is some kind of new VR experience.
Yeah. I'm totally excited for the new Far Cry and the new Assassin's Creed. I like both the series in general, Assassin's Creed. But, you know, they've taken a year off. And
it's been a while since proper installments of both of them.
For sure.
I mean, it could be like we're maybe due for another Rainbow Six. It's 2 years for that game.
Or if you go back to Splinter Cell.
Well, there's again, rumors. There's Splinter Cell rumors.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of got to be now or else it's going to be too late.
It would be interesting to see what they did with Rainbow Six because the last one was multiplayer only.
Yeah.
If they choose to just go down, it's been very successful for them. So.
Well, and I really respect them for that. Like, they turned that game around, right? Like,
yeah.
It launched and people kind of shrugged, but then they stuck with it and, you know, did a second season.
Yeah, all the modes and maps have been free. It's been, like, aesthetic things that cost money.
It's such a success story for, like, sticking with a game you believe in.
That's kind of the story of modern Ubisoft, though, with their multiplayer-centric games. Yeah. Same thing with The Division.
Yeah.
A rocket launch.
You look at Wildlands of For Honor, like the two best-selling games of the year so far, I believe.
Yeah. Yep.
And Just Dance will be there.
And, well, I'm sure there'll be a Just Dance. The Crew 2 is a little interesting. I don't know who's, like,
clamoring,
waiting for that one.
Yeah, I don't know if the first Crew and Wild Run did well enough to warrant a sequel, but...
The Crew was a good idea.
It was cool when it was unveiled, and they're like, hey, you can drive all the way across America. I'm like, that's interesting.
I mean, the problem was, like, again, like, I'm not a giant racing game guy, but I play a few every once in a while, and it just didn't feel as good as Forza. So it's like that gimmick isn't worth it if, like, the moment-to-moment, like, what's the car equivalent of gunplay?
Yeah.
Like, if the moment-to-moment car, you know, doesn't feel that
called
great.
Called CarPlay.
CarPlay.
CarPlay Diem.
I don't want to be too jaded about the Mario Cross Rabbids RPG because Ubisoft, you know, if that's true, Ubisoft is the only one of the third-party conferences that will have a big new game for Switch.
In theory, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I want to support him on that front, but it is also hard.
I talked about this.
We just hate... I hate the Rabbids so much.
I really hate the Rabbids. Yeah, I know. It's French minions.
Yeah. It's possible that other games will be announced for Switch because of the success between launch and now.
It's possible.
Yeah.
EA games might be coming
to Switch now.
They might not be like super far along in development, but they'll be like, hey, we're bringing blank to Switch.
I mean, you have to imagine that Nintendo of America, you know, and of Japan is, you know, working their tails off trying to get people to, you know, hey, look, like our console's big hit. Like, let's get some momentum coming
in. They've done great with indies so far. Yeah.
But then the Mega Man Legacy Collection 2 was announced, not coming to Switch. It's crazy.
That was like the Disney Afternoon Collection, too.
Also crazy.
Again, I think it is people didn't realize, like, how.
I think there's something.
They just have to make a business decision.
I think there's something going on with Capcom and Nintendo. Like they're having a lovers spat or something.
Oh, no,
no, it's like weird.
All these games came to Nintendo consoles.
Those two collections are perfect for the Switch. They're not coming.
Yeah,
Last time they got along, it was so great. We got Killer 7, Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, Beautiful Joe.
Anno 3.
All right, and that brings us to Sony, which is Monday evening, June 12th. 5:30 p.m. Pacific is our pre-show. And even though Sony like doesn't have as much writing on their conference as Microsoft does, we could talk about Sony's for so much longer because they have so many games, both in terms of exclusives and third-party games that have aligned themselves with PlayStation.
Yeah, I think this year is going to be... Last year they had an incredible conference, and a lot of it was sort of peppered with these really quick looks at things that still aren't out yet.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see God of War again. We're going to see what Spider-Man actually looks like running.
Mm. Which might not more be out of Days this year. Gone. Depends on how far along it is.
I think those three games are relatively far along. I think some combination of those three games we'll see in the next year.
I agree. I think, you know, I gave Sony a hard time on Scoop last week for announcing games when they're very, very, very early, whereas Microsoft tends to kind of announce stuff, their plans for that year. But that cadence does work for them, where it's, here's a short look at something farther away, and then a deep dive into something this year. Mm-hmm. And, like, here's a quick look at God of War, and then a long look at something out now. So it's like, you know, I think, yeah, that works for them.
The teases give us more to talk about. So I definitely want to see a little bit of something, and then, like, a gameplay of all the ones.
Well, it mitigates if you don't see, you know, 15 seconds of Spider-Man on PS4, then it's like, that's a game, like, it's gonna leak. Like, so you might as well just be like, Insomniac's working on this, we'll tell you more next year.
What about Last of Us? Will we get gameplay of that?
I don't think so.
Oh man.
So I made predictions that,
because there's Uncharted spin-off.
So that's play. I made predictions that we wouldn't see Death Stranding or The Last of Us 2, and Kojima confirmed this morning that Death Stranding will not be at the show.
Oh, he saw your podcast.
Yeah, he saw my podcast. Mm-hmm. And I think Naughty Dog is going to focus heavily on Uncharted The Lost Legacy, which comes out in August. I don't think we're going to see The Last of Us 2. I also think The Last of Us 2 is incredibly early in development.
But maybe another cinematic trailer.
Maybe cinematic,
Just because they know their audience. That's our audience's favorite game.
I mean, we know
game.
That it's like our audience's favorite game of the past 10 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think we'll see big dives into
big dives,
but stuff like Knack, Detroit, Days Gone, Spider-Man.
I hope Spider-Man's a big focus.
I actually forgot about Knack.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's Knack 2. Co-op.
Yeah, Knack.
Yeah, they'll definitely have that. Yeah, so Uncharted is out fairly soonish in August, but we haven't seen much of that since December.
We just saw the one PSX thing.
We don't know that much about it.
So God of War, I think they revealed that last year. I think it's time to revisit that.
Yeah, I mean, we know it's on one of the hotels in downtown LA. They're slowly putting up the banner. That and Battlefront have giant banners.
Is that what's on Figueroa?
Battlefront's on the Figueroa.
I think God of War comes out this year.
That's what I was going to ask. We know Uncharted is August. What's the big fall game?
The silly thing is they didn't have one last year and they didn't need it. They had PSVR and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think we're going to get Gran Turismo Sport this fall, and I think we're going to get either Uncharted, Spider-Man, or Days Gone.
That'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned Days Gone.
Because we saw a lot of that last year, actually. It was revealed.
We saw two demos.
Or a trailer and a demo.
Yeah. I don't know if you mentioned Detroit Become Human. Mm-hmm. That's been
a long time. I mean, Heavy Rain
has been
a
few years now.
Yeah.
So it's probably time to give that one a release date.
Yeah.
Put that one out.
I guess what? Their last game was Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if Sony's smart, they'll announce something big for PSVR.
Yeah.
Because,
they kind of have to, right?
It's like I was saying, Fallout 4 would be a big deal for VR. VR still needs a big, I don't know if you want to call it a killer app. It needs a game that people can get excited about playing in VR.
Well, Fumito Ueda finally got his game out, so he has to be working on something too, right?
Yeah.
Well, so The Last Guardian's out.
Yeah.
So what's the next game from that studio? Because I'm excited.
I'll be alive
in my late 50s, and I'll want something relaxing to play.
Yeah, they just announced that they passed 1 million sales for PSVR, which was the first VR headset to announce that it's passed 1 million, which makes me think it was the first one to pass 1 million.
I mean, I was going
to
say, PSVR keeps quietly, the bundles come in stock online and sell out.
Yeah, it's actually in high demand. Yeah, so I think it'd be cool if a first-party studio, if someone like Sucker Punch is working on something, if a really cool first-party studio, maybe a small team at Naughty Dog is working on something that they show on PSVR.
And then in terms of third parties that we're likely to see at Sony's press conference, Call of Duty, World War II, Destiny 2, could we see more Battlefront 2? Maybe they do single player at EA's conference and then a big multiplayer match.
Or vice versa. I can totally see that.
Yep.
Far Cry 5 is aligned with Sony. And then we know Red Dead Redemption 2 is aligned with Sony, but it got delayed and Rockstar doesn't usually come to E3.
Yeah. And they said we'll share more later this summer,
which
makes me believe that they'll just do their own thing in July or August.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think we'll see it.
I hope we see something from Soft, whether it's Bloodborne 2.
That's what I was going to say. Is it time for Bloodborne 2?
Or maybe just a new IP?
We'll get a Bloodborne 2 trailer. That's my prediction.
It's just announce it, let people know it's coming.
Yeah. Cool.
Ever since Dark Souls, I mean, we haven't gone very long without something Souls on the horizon.
I feel like every E3 for the last couple of years, we've had something.
And then Sony has said they've got some really big announcements for Japanese games to make. Does that mean Final Fantasy VII Remake?
I really hope we see VII Remake or Kingdom Hearts 3. I don't think we will. Hmm. They've said that the 7 Remake development got moved in-house to Square from CyberConnect.
Years out.
they said both games will be out before 2020. And I'm like, oh, that's a long away.
Yeah.
That's their future.
Maybe that Mana Collection will come to Sony's.
That'd be exciting.
Is that coming to the U.S. Switch?
Yeah. I think we'll get stuff from Japan Studios. I think, I honestly do think From Software something will be there. Yeah, maybe something smaller from Square. They just announced that Dissidia is coming to PS4.
Final Fantasy 3-on-3 fighting game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Japan Studios is going to have some surprise new IP. Like, I don't know if it's going to be a big blow the doors off AAA thing, but like something more than like a smaller experiment.
Yeah, but they got Gravity Rush out. They got, that's, you know, I mean, they helped like with getting Last Guardian out. We have Knack coming up soon.
Yep, they're definitely a big group that we kind of don't know what's cooking over there. So it's time. Yeah. It's time for a big new Japan Studios game.
Ape Escape.
Oh man.
VR.
Woo!
Hella monkeys inside your head.
I should have done that instead of Knack too.
Ape Escape, so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked the first two on the original PlayStation. Yeah. I didn't play any after that, so. But I, you know.
There was an Ape Escape like minigame in one of the Metal Gear Solid, like Solidus or Subsistences.
Mm.
People love apes.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Hey, Planet of the Apes is coming.
Planet of the Apes is huge. Woody Harrelson's in that film.
Maybe they
want
to
Kong.
Time the release around.
Yeah.
That Cranky film. Kong.
Cranky Kong. Coco was that ape that learned sign language at the San Diego Zoo.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the only ape I know.
Candy Kong.
Clint Eastwood had an orangutan friend.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Don't remember the name of those movies. But
Clint Eastwood talked to that empty chair.
That was weird.
What about Shenmue?
Nah.
Oh, I think they said no.
They've already said?
I believe they announced that they were like, we're hard at work on the Kickstarter or on the game, but we're not going to be at E3. I think that's one of our confirmed no games.
What about 1 and 2 remaster?
That would be cool. There have been a lot of rumors of that. Yeah. So I think that would be a cool, like, hey, the game's not here yet, but 1 and 2 remastered is out.
I don't think that works in their favor. With all respect, as someone that actually likes Shenmue 1 and 2, to have put those games in front of people again would probably be a mistake.
It's not going to get them excited for going for number 3.
It is not.
Well, especially like those games were big, especially the first one back on Dreamcast, because it was like, oh, this is what Japan's like. But now it's like, well, Yakuza 0 is a much better game, and Persona 5 is a much better game.
Well, yeah.
Those give you good flavors of Japan.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Japan is delicious.
Delicious.
All right. So with all that said, what are we most excited for?
What about Nintendo?
Oh, yeah. Man.
It almost felt like that was a segue.
You're right.
That's the next one.
You're right. I totally didn't even plan it out. And my most anticipated game is Super Mario Odyssey.
Me too.
Well, I did forget to plan out the Nintendo conference, but that is Tuesday morning, 9 a.m.
And you can definitely check out Nintendo Voice Chat for a lot in-depth discussion on Nintendo stuff.
But that's actually not too difficult to put that together. Super Mario Odyssey, we imagine it'll be their big centerpiece.
Yes, 100%.
I think the Sega Sonic games are going to be there.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You think so? You think they'll be on stage with Nintendo or at the Direct?
Yeah, I think those will be part of the Direct. Yeah. I'm trying to think of third parties now. I think Skyrim, as I already mentioned, will be there. Yeah.
The Direct is only 30 minutes, so.
Yeah, it's very
is
short.
It? We know Splatoon 2 is out this summer.
Well, they want to focus on games coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of limits it to.
Yeah, there have been some rumors. I mean, with the success of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, if we get a Smash Deluxe, which I could totally see
happening. Yeah. Bring on the Wii U ports.
Smash Deluxe, I tweeted this out a while back, that remember that Smash 3DS had all different stages. No overlap in the stages. So if it like brings the 3DS stuff and the Wii U stuff together in one package, it would be like, the thing about Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is it's got, 48 tracks in it? Like, it just feels like so much. And to, like, bring those two versions of Smash together, I think would be crazy smart.
We could get a Zelda port that's just been happening at every E3, and Skyward Sword is up there. Sword.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, bringing Wind Waker HD or Twilight Princess HD to Switch.
Bayonetta 2, Pikmin 3.
Yeah. Well, you think they want to bring Mario Maker?
I think that'd be huge. Yeah.
Over to Switch.
They got to be I think they have a strategy of like parceling out.
Sure.
They don't want the Switch to feel like Wii U rehash, but they also know that a lot of people didn't experience those games on the
Wii
U.
If there's a strong library this fall, it's just going to help it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I think we have to hear, even though they said it's going to be delayed, the online part of this, but we have to hear about Virtual Console.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be crazy not to hear about that.
That's what I was going
to
ask. Yeah.
So if it's not in their E3 conference, like sometime during. Nintendo does a weird thing. They do their conference, and now they have Treehouse Live where they have little announcements.
But they're not always that little. Like, sometimes it's like, what? They announced a whole new game on Wednesday.
Usually on Wednesday, they have a late night, like a dinner. And then, and then they have like more announcements. And I don't think they really did it last year, but that's where they announced Twilight Princess, for instance. So don't be, you know, too sad after the Nintendo Direct if it's just things coming out this year, because there could be future stuff coming out after the Direct, and they're just being coy about it.
I wonder if the Direct probably won't mention Fire Emblem then. The next Fire Emblem coming to Switch.
I think
right?
they got that out of the way.
Yeah, they already yeah.
they got. They seem to get all the 3DS stuff out of the way. So yeah. they got. They did the Pokemon Direct, and Pokken's gonna be at the show, but not. I don't think the
Ultra Sun and Moon.
Yeah, so, sorry. Yeah, Sun and Moon yeah. Ultras are going to be.
Well, it's also another Smash, you know, rumor. I guess it's not a rumor, but just a reason why it could make sense is they got Pokken Tournament DX out of the way because they don't want it sure. running right alongside Smash if they have that at their press conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
But there's a Pikmin 3DS game and there's more Fire Emblem to be had. And I don't know if we're going to see those because they just talked about them in recent directs.
Okay, now we can share what we're most excited for. I am still do consider Super Mario Odyssey to be my most anticipated game this year, so
yeah, Spider-Man and Odyssey for me.
Spider-Man, huh?
Yeah,
that's interesting. Spider-Man, I know, like people are nuts for that game, and they're really excited for it. The character of Spider-Man has never meant anything to
oh, really?
Me, so it's yeah. hard for me to get excited about
I
it.
I agree with that, but like Insomniac's legacy, like it's just a really smart fit for them. It sure. seems to me so.
On the Sony front, I'd be more, much more excited for like God of War.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Yes, God of War, Spider-Man. Like, I'm honestly just excited to see what Scorpio is, what it looks yeah. like, how much it costs.
That's like the conference I'm most excited to just see.
Just because that's been a giant question mark for literally the last year. Yeah. So, like, and this is so important for Microsoft that I think mm-hmm. just one way or another, it's really interesting. And Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm like kind of a closet or not a very vocal Destiny fan. Like, I really like Destiny 1, and I'm not the person that like played it every single night, like a Destin Legary, but like every single time new content would come out, I'd consume it all and like it and then bounce from that game. So I'm really hyped for Destiny 2, and I think Destiny 2, you know, on the surface, will always like render our final judgment later. But so far, it seems like they're sort of fixing what people didn't like about the first, and seems like it's going to be more fun and have a more proper story to go through. So I really think that Destiny 2, and people often remember Bungie, I mean, that's the Halo studio, right? Like, nobody has shooter chops like them. I guess I shouldn't say nobody, but, you know, they're among the very, very upper echelon in the business. So a new AAA shooter from one of the absolute best in the business. Like, yeah, I'm really, really excited to play. Like, I just want to play it. Like, it looks really fun. And then, obviously, I love my Switch. Any excuse to get the Switch out and play that. So. Yeah.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com or omegacops@ign.com. Just like Wade Sheridan from South Florida did. And he says, what's up, Damon, Justin, Sam, and special guest character? Longtime listener here with his first question. I will be attending E3 this year Ooh. As I am covering the event and a number of games for the news website that I work for and was wondering what you guys think is the best way to get the most out of my E3 experience. Mm. Is a day at E3 best spent waiting in lines to try out new games? Should I be looking forward to Disney theme park level wait times due to the added amount of people attending this year? Is there anything else to do on the show floor that I should be looking out for?
No, you got to wait in line and play games. Yeah. I think this year it'll be a special, it'll be even more different because of the public. I think there's going to be more lines because you can walk up and play indies in a lot of the yeah. booths mm. normally. I don't know if it's going to be that way this year, but I think the key thing is pick out the thing you want to do most every day and wait in the outside line when the show floor opens and go straight to that thing.
Run.
Yeah.
Don't run.
Go to it first. And then you probably won't get into anything else unless you wait a long time for the rest of the day. But right when the show floor opens, you have a good opportunity to get to right.
One sort of hack or trick is that, you know, and I don't know that this is the case, but often, like a game like Battlefront is probably at EA's booth yeah. and Sony.
Well, it's at EA Play, we know, in Hollywood.
Excuse me. EA is a weird example because they're off-site yeah. now. But you know, Call of Duty, for example, will probably be in Activision's booth and in a first-party booth. So certain yeah. games will be playable at two places on the show, and it'll be packed in one booth and empty in another. Yeah. So like that's kind of one way to scope out the show and think about it.
Also, I wouldn't wait in a really long line for like a theater presentation because a lot of times those are either just guided tours of what we already saw,
or watch it on the press conference.
Well, yeah, or that BCD will be online in like a week. So
BCD stands for
behind closed doors.
So that's actually a really good like insider-y E3 tip. It's, you know, so there's these theaters and people wait in line and they let in 30 people and then you see something behind these closed doors and you leave, but oftentimes what they just demoed is what was on stage at the press conference and it's maybe remixed in a very slight way, or maybe sometimes what's behind those closed doors ends up on YouTube anyway. Mm-hmm. And so
but you do get a t-shirt.
You often get a
sometimes.
T-shirt. So if you are, I mean, I agree with Marty, don't wait in a long line. But if you're going to wait in a long line, at least wait in a long line to like get a controller in your hands.
Yeah.
And get a t-shirt.
And like that's how it was with Zelda last year, was you had to wait for half the day. But then you got to sit and play Zelda for a really long, like a long
time. Yeah, they cleared everybody out of their booth last year. And you just got just time with the console. And that's all they had. And it was really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And then you got a Zelda coin. And Nintendo does awesome giveaways. I'm serious about that. Yeah. Like you can get cool stuff at E3. Like Nintendo did these, like, you know, every year they'll do like a card, like a bingo card kind of, and then you have to play all their demos and you get a pin for each one. Like it's so awesome. And you come away with this really cool tchotchke from.
I would say, Wade, in terms of your news website, like maximizing your time there, like, you know, IGN is going to be the place to go to find out how Battlefront plays or GameSpot or Polygon. Like you need to provide, like if you want to create the most value for your outlet, I would click and read on a headline that's like, you know, the one game everybody missed at E3. Like come up with an angle, come up with something that, like, frankly, you know, people that, like, we're sending a whole army of people to E3 that can do like the obvious stuff. So try to look for a non-obvious angle, and that's a good way to contribute value to the conversation on the internet in a new and unique way.
I do want to add, in terms of getting hands-on time with games or getting into some of those behind closed doors demos, if Wade has a press badge, it's totally worth going to the press reception desk at each booth and introducing yourself, giving them your business card, and you may be able to book an appointment slot for yourself.
Yeah, you can book appointments.
They do book appointments there at the show. They keep some certain slots open to receive the press just like you.
Yeah, so. Especially for the later days, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, especially Wednesday, Thursday.
You'll be able to see a lot of stuff on Thursday.
Yeah. Okay, that is what you can expect from E3 this year. Remember, it all kicks off this Saturday, June 10th, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. Just find yourself a real comfortable chair, microwave some popcorn, and plan to spend your whole week there.
Get some chips and dip, maybe some con queso.
Yep.
We mentioned Saturday and Sunday, Sunday and Monday, there's big gaps in between the conferences, but we're streaming straight through.
Yeah.
We're not taking breaks. Like, we are doing demos and everything. Yeah.
We're still bringing you great content even when the conferences aren't happening.
Yeah. We're going to be doing live episodes of all the shows, tons of demos.
Yeah.
Justin will be there.
Justin's going to be there. We'll be doing Gabe Scoop too. All right. It's time to play Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Kyle Gardner, although I do not know his location.
Hmm.
He's from an undisclosed location, probably a bunker somewhere. Anyway, let the questioning begin.
Do you collect and spend currency money in this game?
Not in the way that you're thinking.
All right.
Could this game have been at an E3?
What?
It's
an era question.
Can you clarify?
Yeah, the 1996 and later. E3s existed.
I knew it.
Hold on. Are you asking me if this was released after January 1st, 1996?
I'm asking you if it could have been at an E3.
Is it possible for this game to have been at an E3?
I mean, yes.
No. Okay. Sorry. No. It is not.
Pre-1996, everybody.
Or it was a game that wasn't at E3 anyway.
Marty's shaking his head, but I like that question.
We're doing an E3 episode.
Was this game on, is this an NES game?
No.
Ooh, was this? Now I'm all messed up. Was this an arcade game?
No.
Is this from the 16-bit era?
I mean, it came out in that era.
So it's probably around either, that same it's time. Probably the reason this tripping name up is it's probably
Turbo Graphics.
It's either a PC game or a handheld game.
Yeah.
Or Turbo Graphics.
It's not a turbo.
It's literally 16. So
is this a handheld game?
No.
Is this a PC game?
Yes.
All right.
Woo!
Now we're cooking with gas. So we're talking first half of the 90s PC game.
Mm-hmm. SimCity.
Ooh.
Stuff from that era.
SimCity was late 80s, wasn't it?
No. Well, maybe. Might have been early. I mean,
let's try to get a genre of PC game.
Nah. Was this game developed in the United States?
Yes.
I'm liking SimCity.
I'm liking either. What about Wolfenstein?
Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
Doom.
Yeah, all those.
This game a first-person shooter?
No.
All right, it's not Wolfenstein or Doom, guys.
Is it a strategy game?
No. That's 10.
Do strategy games include Sims?
I was going to say, I don't know that I would call SimCity a strategy game. Maybe I would. I don't know.
Would you call SimCity a strategy
genres
game?
Genres are stupid.
No, I wouldn't. There's no strategy.
Okay.
I don't think it's Sim City though.
I agree.
So adventure.
It could be an adventure game. That's okay.
Do you play this game from?
Can we
like,
ask if it's an adventure game?
From like, you we'll get.
Oh yeah, I see where you're
saying. Do you play this game from like a top-down god perspective?
No.
Is this a adventure game?
Yes.
All right. So what do we got? Early 90s.
Is it a LucasArts game?
Yes.
So probably Maniac Mansion, I assume, or.
I mean, Monkey Island. I mean, it could be any of them. Monkey Island was 80s. Was it 90s? I don't know.
I don't know much about.
Do you play? Is this pirate themed?
No.
Okay. Not Monkey Island.
Are there teenagers in it?
Yes.
No, there's both Maniac Mansion and what's it called?
Day of the Tentacle.
Did it re?
Can you blow up a hamster in the microwave?
No.
Oh.
Does this game have time travel?
Yes.
Okay. We did it. Day of the Tentacle.
Yes, it is Day of the Tentacle.
That was good.
Wow, we really, man, we were steering into the, we righted the ship on that one.
Yeah, 13 questions. 19.
No, it was more.
It was more than that.
I
was
on my,
oh, so it was like 18 questions.
Wow.
Okay.
We're almost there.
Woo. Okay, you got there. Yeah, Day of the Tentacle, 1993. It's on PC.
I think you answered all those questions.
And then you asked if it you were saying could it have been at E3, and I think there's the remaster that could have been E3, but then I think
it was.
I think it may have been on like Sony's stage. Yeah. I know Grim Fandango was. Yeah.
So I didn't want to like trip you up.
What was with the money question?
You can like get coin. You like find a coin like, to use in a puzzle
as item.
In the game.
So there is currency that you use. Yeah.
But
I think all your answers.
It's not a game system.
All your controversial answers were good.
Unlike usual.
We just got a package of like Broken Age toys and stuff, right?
Broken Age got a limited run physical release on PS4.
I love those.
A plushie of one of the little like hexagons.
Yeah,
and then a really cool artwork.
And he has really stringy little legs. Yeah. You hold it up.
I only played the first half of Broken Age.
Oh, it's really good.
Because I played it when it came out. Then the second half came out, and I was busy with other work stuff and didn't ever get to it.
You saw the cool twist at the end, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
The box version for PS4 has my name on the back.
Why?
For a quote.
Oh. You got a box quote.
Yeah,
got on an actual box.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Those limited run games, true to their name.
Limited run, yeah.
Almost impossible to actually get them.
This is number 60. Like, they say which one. Like, it's the 60th game limited run.
That's the way, like, just being in the business of printing and selling and shipping a physical thing is, like, so impossible that, like, the only way to do it is to truly, like,
make it scarce and make sure everyone wants to buy it.
They did
that's how records survived.
Yeah.
They did a physical release of Darius vs. Chronicles.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I would love to have gotten, but it sold out right away.
And whatever happened with Night Trap?
That's still coming. I don't think it's gone on sale yet.
Or you gotta let me know.
Yeah. But when it does,
scoop.
If you're not there right at whatever 10 a.m., it's gonna be gone. All right, that is our show for you this week. Next week is E3. Plan to spend your entire week with us here at IGN. Wherever you want to watch us on IGN.com or on YouTube or on Twitch or on Twitter, e3.twitter.com. All week long, we're going to be streaming all of our content there.
We're going to live scoop Tuesday.
And we'll do a live scoop Tuesday morning after Nintendo.
After, right?
Yeah, immediately following the Nintendo
post show.
Yeah, post show and Nintendo Direct.
Man, you're hosting all the pre and post shows.
I'm hosting a lot of
stuff. A lot of work.
A lot of stuff this week. Mm-hmm. I got some new shirts to wear.
And whether you're at our meetup or just coming by the IGN booth, it's right at the entrance of the West Hall?
South Hall.
South Hall.
Is it South Hall?
Isn't it?
No, West Hall.
I think it's West Hall. Yeah, South Hall's it.
Southwest Hall.
right between Sony and Nintendo is the IGN booth, right when you walk in.
Right at the front doors, yeah.
Don't say hi to Damon, because you'll have to pound on the glass to get his attention.
Well, yeah, if I'm on...
Damon!
Because he's going to be on camera.
But if you catch my eye, give me a wave, and I'll wave back to you.
Absolutely, and bring your cards if you're a freelancer, or if you're interested in working here, and let us know.
Yeah, it'll be a really fun week. I'm excited.
I'm always excited.
Shout at us on the street.
Tackle us. Tackle Justin.
No.
He's Justin from a skateboard.
That is all the scoops we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Marty. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.